Welcome to the first Monday after the race, the new bonus show brought to you by the same people that bring you the last Wednesday of the week. So many days of the week, so confusing. What are we doing here? All will become clear. All that you need to know is we're visual here. We are on video for the first time in Wednesday Pod history. So we've got a little bit of bonus content coming your way. We simply don't have enough time to talk about Formula One on our main show. So Ben and I caught up with Paul, who's down there, and said, can we borrow you and just try something? Put a video out, do some YouTube, and here we are. Ben is that way, Paul is that way, and you can find all you need to on those links down in that corner there. Ben, Paul, welcome to our video podcast bonus content last first Monday post-race, whatever we call it.
Let's go!
I'm so happy to be here.
You excited?
Oh my God, I got no voice from yesterday. I think I might have hurt my spleen. What a day. What time to be alive.
Well, Paul, Ben and I have been trying to catch up with you for ages. Before Christmas, we were going to do a preview before the launches. Then we were going to do like a post-launch special. And then we were going to do a preview before Bahrain. And we've just never been able to catch up and find the time. And, you know, this is the longest we can get away from Simon before he starts to ask where we are.
Ben,
Simon's how excited are you to dedicate
It's just amazing. Simon, listen. Formula One. I'll defend Simon, but not for the next 30 minutes. This is about Formula One. He doesn't give a crap about Formula One. I liked bonus episode last Wednesday of the week. Bonus content. This is the first bonus content we're putting out to our insanely huge fan base and deep fan base.
First Monday after
the race. It's a massive following, isn't it? At like tens of people. It's huge.
And you know, this is like the first time I've had to consider maybe making my bed. I'm like, you know, podcasting in front of my bed here. I thought I'd put a jersey on with a logo, and maybe,
you know,
are we even allowed
our
that
time
on YouTube?
Is now, our time is now, Ben, because 2 years ago, pre-pandemic, you would not have gotten away with having such shabby backgrounds. But post-pandemic, everyone's just used to it. They spent their work life looking into people's bedrooms.
You can talk about
legally,
your
I might
crappy
add.
Backgrounds. I got my sausage dog in the background. I got my wife up there. There's duck wallpaper. I got some beautiful plaid on the wall, just sort of reminiscent of that Scottish guy that's always on the F1, who's about a million years old. Come on,
Paul, you turned up. I appreciate it. You turned up. Well, I'm wearing a Formula One hat just to prove that we're Formula One fans and we're trying to do cool kid stuff on the YouTube. So let's get into it. We had a mega first race of the season. That's why we're here to talk. We're here to talk about Bahrain. The Ferraris dominated, and out of the gates, they bolted. Red Bull got a bad break, literally, it seems. Mercedes caught a break, managed to get onto the podium. Or half of them did. We had some teams well out of place, well out of order. We had McLaren's down the bottom. We had Aston Martin down the bottom. We had a Haas in P5. We had Alfa Romeo's both in the points. Like, it was a race. Like, if we wanted the season to start in any particular way, this is probably how we would have chosen, right? Ben, where are we going to start? What are we going to talk about first?
Well, we've got to talk about Ferrari. We've got to talk about the prancing horse. We've got to talk about the renaissance, the Maranello resurgence. We've got to talk about Charles Leclerc, the Monégasque driver. Formula One have wanted a Monégasque driver at the helm for forever. That's where they all live, and speaks money, speaks to the sport. And he's also lightning quick. Carlos Sainz, brilliant driver, wasn't at the races this weekend, still manages to go P2. So yes, Ferrari 1 and 2. The last time that happened, many, many years ago, the last time Ferrari were competitive, you've got to go back to the season that Vettel spunked the title challenge against Hamilton. So what we're looking at 4 years ago now. I mean, listen, it's amazing to have the prancing horse back at the front. And I know Paul's, you know, big Williams fan and anyone but Red Bull mentality in recent years. You can riposte if you want. But listen, you've got to admit, it is lovely to have the red car leading the way at this early in the season.
I am going to jump in there. I actually never thought I would say it, but it was a really pleasurable thing to see. maybe it's the history, maybe it's recently, the more we've been talking about F1, the deeper I've been diving into it, I guess, more than just a fan now, I feel like I'm a reporter, that I look at it differently. It was essential that Ferrari were able to challenge for race wins and championships again. And let's say, we'll just say it straight out, whether we're proven wrong or not by other cars developing, Ferrari have the opportunity to win the world championship. There's no doubt. And that has got to be great.
Let's talk about that, Paul. Let's talk about that straight now, Paul. Can they keep up with the monster that is Mercedes and Red Bull in terms of developing the car in the factory all season? Looking at the lap times for this first race, Charles Leclerc was a second quicker than Max Verstappen. The fastest lap was a second quicker than his competitors. That's a huge, that's miles in Formula One. But can they stay there, or are they going to rest on their laurels?
Race pace is great.
This Ferrari team, unbelievable. And Charles Leclerc is a furiously fast driver. I mean, people don't underestimate how quick this guy is. But I want to ask you, Dan, obviously there at the front, you don't like the look of the Ferrari.
No.
But this is a Ferrari team that have made loads of mistakes over the last few years. We've actually come to just accept mistakes from them, and they were pinpoint. The pit stops were the fastest by half a second. The car looks incredibly reliable. Are they going to fund and get behind it?
I think Paul has a correction to your pit stops, but the Ferrari, you're right. I don't like the look of the car. I'm just not into it. Don't like the dingy look. But I can't remember cheering a Ferrari on as much as I have,
did
yesterday for that race. What a feeling, and I enjoyed it. And do you know what? If I turned up at Monza with those Tifosi around me, I'd walk away £200 poorer by buying all the Ferrari merch. Like I'd buy it up, even though the car I don't.
£200
like the
poorer.
The car is clearly rapid.
£2,000 poorer,
and the rest.
Yeah, I mean,
you'd get another cap for your collection.
But just to add to that, I think it's worth noting, isn't it? We'll move on a little bit from Ferrari, maybe into Red Bull a little bit here, because we know that Red Bull were managing an issue really early on in the race, weren't they?
Yeah,
what they said.
They were telling him to sort of slow down,
didn't they? Yeah. They were managing him,
yeah,
really early on, weren't they? Just because he's a baby and he couldn't really put a pass together. I mean, the fact that he overtook down the main straight and then got overtaken by Leclerc at the end of the sector into turn four, and then the second lap when he's knackering his tyres, he doesn't think enough to say, you know what, I'm just going to stay really close behind him here. I'm going to overtake him into turn four and then go away from him. He just didn't have the racecraft yesterday. Now, I am not saying that he's a bad driver. To suggest that he's a bad driver would make me look stupid. I don't like him. I used to like him.
Sounds like Hulk Hogan.
I just found his approach to the race yesterday naive. I don't know, maybe he was going to pass him and drive off.
Let's look at that though, Paul. You know, before we go away from the Ferraris, let's look at that. Charles Leclerc said that he knew Verstappen was coming down the main straight, and what he was doing is braking, staying to the left, braking early, knowing that Verstappen's going to dive on the inside, and just take him before turn four. It was so calm. Charles Leclerc, who's won only, what, two or three races before this weekend, I think that was only his 10th pole, pretty impressive still. But he's not been in this position for a long time. And Verstappen is the reigning world champion, like it or not. How can he have such a cool head against this hothead Max? Who's Max got around him that's not saying, listen, you're world champion now, you've got to use your head, your maturity? It was nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, he listens to himself, doesn't he? He does, though, doesn't he? He is not listening to his engineers. He said that yesterday. Oh, it's twice you've told me to do this now. I'm never doing that again. Not, hey, guys, I think maybe we should. He was adamant, because he's in the car and he's got the right boot on the loud pedal, he's adamant that he knows what's going on. I'm not trying to take anything away from him, because he's a Formula One driver and I drive a 1995 Volkswagen T4 Caravelle. He understands it. Of course he does. And is he smart? Yes. And has he got the right people around him? Yes. But
he must have. He must have. I mean, Helmut Marko's.
He's got to, right? But equally, I'm still burning from the end of last season because of what happened. I know it weren't his fault, but I'm still burning from it. But let's get back to the race. The Ferrari was amazing, and Leclerc was incredible. Yeah. His racecraft was outstanding. The move that he made in that on the turn four, when he just give him that little, here's my rear tire, do something. I saw hesitation from Verstappen that I've never seen before.
Paul, and I know Dan obviously wants to move on, but worth asking. You say, you know, let's not talk about last year. Well, no, let's talk about last year. Let's not talk about the incidents and the Michael Marzi and all that, because it's just regurgitating. I mean, we've all talked read about it at length for months. Did this race, Dan, you can answer this one first. Did this race wipe the slate clean? Are we now just focused on the season, forgetting about Abu Dhabi gate?
I'm not going to lie, I completely forgot about Abu Dhabi the minute I started getting incredibly excited about this season. The slate was already gone for me. You know, it doesn't affect me in my personal life one little bit. You know, we can have the internet trolls fight each other till the days go, you know, they'll just find something else to fight.
Oh, well,
about.
That is fun though, isn't it? I don't like reading that.
the FIA put out a statement, apparently resolving everything from Abu Dhabi. I kind of forgot that they were still going to be doing something, and then this statement came out, and everyone kind of went, "Oh yeah, I forgot about that." But yeah, anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about really briefly because I want to get to further down the field. Red Bull, they've got a spec part issue, Paul. This seems potentially worrying for the rest of the field, does it not?
The Magneti Marelli fuel pump. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, I think it's a fuel pump
issue, isn't it?
Yeah. Fuel pump failure. Yeah, I'm hearing lots of different things. By hearing it, I don't mean I'm in the pit lane, earwigging what the guys are saying.
Man on the ground.
I'm reading.
Yeah, you are man on the ground, Paul. Don't undersell yourself.
Yeah, I'm reading.
We need
Twitter.
A new show for you. We'll call it Paul's Journal.
I was going to say Paul Journal. Hogan, but wasn't that the guy from Crocodile Dundee?
That is still the guy, Paul Hogan. You've got to love him, haven't you?
Okay.
Mick Dundee.
When you're in the pit lane, you can pull out your journal and go, "That's not a notebook."
You call
if you
that
pull
a notebook
that one out to 10.
This is a notebook, mate. That would be amazing. What were we saying?
I don't know.
Digress.
We can probably finish
something
there.
We talked about the fuel pump. There was a fuel pump issue, and I want to answer this as well. I don't want to go crazy about the pit stops, but there was also a track rod issue, from my understanding, dropping the car too aggressively.
That's what caused the steering problem. That's what they're saying, aren't they?
Debacle.
Who knows? Yeah, who knows? I mean, if that is something, then you would have thought they would have done drop tests on the nose of that car, right?
Yeah.
They would have dropped that.
Well, I mean, you have three mechanical retirements, allegedly three mechanical retirements. You would never, going into that race, guess that 2/3 of them would have been the Red Bulls.
No, but I'm
three were Renault. Renault, I'm getting that wrong. All three were Honda / Red Bull drivetrain, powertrain, they call it. It's still a Honda engine. Yeah. Obviously, Honda are no longer in the sport, but they're all three similar issues. So, I mean, is that worrying? I don't know. I don't think so. In general, the reliability looked incredible.
All right.
Yeah,
let's move on.
So I would say unreal that 17 cars finished. And when you bear in mind that would have only been one like proper retirement, had both of the Red Bulls not retired in the last sort of few laps of the race.
That was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was an unfortunate situation, wasn't it, to see that fire. I believe it was coolant.
It was a big fire.
I think it was coolant, they said.
Yeah, big fire.
Massive. And when he was getting out of it, it was in the... Am I right in thinking it was in the
same
place where Grosjean?
Yeah.
And that was just bad vibes about that. Really close, windy pops there.
Bought the visions back to that insane fireball Grosjean.
Okay, let's head down the other end of the field. We've got McLaren's, Aston Martin's, Williams. What's going on? Let's start with Aston Martin. What are we seeing there?
Just looks horrible. It looked like a right handful, didn't it? I was watching them quite... I think it still looks like a lovely car. It's a nice looking car. Just those side pods look a bit odd. And they were obviously running it higher than they needed to, and they had a lot of wing on it as well, I think, to deal with the, I'm not going to use the word, I've heard it enough, with the big P, you know. The
dolphining.
Yes, absolutely.
Dolphining, yeah.
The manateeing.
Manateeing. Well, that's what the Aston Martin looks like, a bloody manatee.
It does. It's a big sea cow, isn't it?
It's not as cute as a sea cow.
Yeah, with old Stroll Senior in the back of it eating pies. Yeah, it looked horrible, didn't it? I feel bad for him.
Let's talk about that. You know, obviously, you know, if a car looks horrible, it doesn't necessarily mean it's slow. That's not, you know, the laws of aerodynamics mean it has to be pretty to be fast. But the problem is, on the side pods, it literally looks like they're flat walls. I can't for the life of me see how that's aerodynamic, what it's doing, what benefit it has. I don't think those side pods will stay. I think there'll be huge changes with the Aston Martin over the coming weeks.
In Imola.
But also, adding into this, they're currently building a brand new factory. Am I reading something into this? Is there some kind of possible issue with moving to that new factory, or are they still running as they would be and then they move over? Is there I don't know where Aston Martin, they feel like a team trying to do well, but they're so far back. Not as far back as McLaren,
got stuff,
I have to
boxes
say.
That they can't find. They've moved.
I think they've not unopened yet. They've got flat packs where they just...
Where's the side pods? Where's the side pods? I'll put them ones on. Quick, the test is in 2 days.
Yeah.
Basically, say Force India down the side. Quick spray paint it.
Yeah, quick. Is that Sahara?
Yeah, exactly.
I was on Google Street View looking at around Silverstone, around there the other day.
In spare time, obviously. Yeah.
Just checking
and,
Street View
looking
out
at some of the factories, and there was a Force India lorry on there. That's how long ago it was, the Street View cars.
Well, it wasn't long ago. They're still using those parts. That was actually yesterday.
Right, let's move on from Aston Martin. I mean, they're a team that's a little bit falling from grace. They've had a good couple of years competitive, haven't they?
Let me just jump in. Aston got shafted last year, didn't they? Because they were told that from a Mercedes point of view, it's like you've been using some naughty parts, and then they were they weren't as great. Yesterday they got stiffed because Vettel wasn't in the car. In my opinion, I think Vettel puts that car a little bit.
Do you know
higher.
What? I completely forgot he wasn't in the car.
I think, you know, I love Nico Hulkenberg.
I'm not convinced.
I love
him. I'm not convinced.
I think Vettel gets that car. He's like Hamilton, isn't he? He can drag a car 3 or 4 places further up the grid. He makes decisions that Hulkenberg's too rusty to make.
Let's stick with that.
Sorry, I'm just watching turn 4. Here he goes. Oh, hang on. Oh, no, sorry, Max. No, you've bailed out on that one again. Unlucky,
this
mate.
Bonus episode's turned into a live reaction show.
Sorry.
let's do that though, because you're saying what Vettel is to, should be able to get more out of the car. So in theory, next race weekend we should see the Aston Martin feather up the order.
No,
is that what we saw with
weekend.
Norris in the McLaren?
What do you mean? Sorry,
is that what we saw with Norris in the McLaren?
What do you mean?
So
what we saw with Norris in the McLaren? He
was so far ahead of Daniel Ricciardo.
He was.
So was
Ricciardo
he performing?
Was, still...
was he putting that McLaren as high as it could go?
No.
Norris finished behind Danny Ric.
It was the other way around, wasn't it?
No, Norris finished behind Danny Ric. I mean, they both finished way down in the order. But Norris 15th, Danny Ric 14th.
No, I thought it was the other way around, Ben.
What I have to say, though, is you're talking about... you think that Hulkenberg can take that Aston Martin all the way forward, maybe, if it was Vettel rather. Lance Stroll finished 20 seconds behind Joe, and there was a damn safety car a few laps towards the end. I mean, there was no way they were competing on pace with the Alfa Romeo or the Haas or the Alpine, and they were a bit further back than I was expecting. I think that Aston Martin's got a lot of work to do, Paul, before you even see them challenging for any points, McLaren.
I think Imola, the first European race? So we've got, where have we got? Jeddah, and then we've got Australia, and then it goes to Imola, right? Is it Imola?
Jeddah, Australia, yeah.
So I think by Imola we'll see improvements in all of the cars that are based in England. So all of them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think there was an issue for the safety car for me, though. I'm looking at the times and I'm like, they're not really respective, are they? Because the top 12 were at least half a lap ahead of the back eight cars. For some reason, they let all the cars pass the safety car this time in order to make the race fair. All of the lapped cars pass. But then they weren't allowed to bunch up.
They weren't allowed to bunch up to the field
because they didn't have time, which meant that if there was any issues further ahead, no one was overtaken. So I don't know. I feel like Albon, Ricciardo, Norris, Latifi, Hülkenberg, Perez, Verstappen. Sorry, Perez and Verstappen didn't finish, did they? Because they're right at the back of the order. Hang on a minute. Yeah, Albon, Ricciardo, Norris, nice Latifi, Hülkenberg.
But let's seriously think about that, though, is... No, so Martin Brundle says this, and that's one thing that he always says, is why not just pull aside, let the faster cars go past them and unlap themselves? It's an issue, something to do with the track counter, but surely the technology means they can overcome this. I don't know what the reason. It basically means they were not racing for points at all. But yeah, all the lap cars go past, and there was a few commentary, you know, there was a few sort of mentions between Crofty and Martin Brundle talking about it. So all the lap cars, and you know, it feels like they're just driving the knife in, you know.
Well,
there was
updates in terminology in the regulations, so that's probably what they're trying to get ahead around. It was any, I think it got changed to all, or the other way around, or something. There's something else. And I realised the mistake I made with Norris. Norris had quite a late pit stop, didn't he? So he was actually up the order, I think, last I looked that far down the field, and then he must have come in last. All right, let's move on. We're running short of time. Yeah, they did, and it's really sad because actually that car grew on me visually watching that race than it did beforehand. I didn't see any of it.
Maybe that's why.
Flying the McLaren colours here, so I'd like to see them further out. Anyway, let's talk about the Alphas for a few, couple of minutes, both in the points. Alfa Romeo, that is. Nice to see, yeah?
Yep, absolutely fantastic. They look, it's a beautiful looking motor car.
Alfa's doing really well.
Absolutely stunning. And do you think we can see something from Valtteri Bottas this year? I mean, put it up at sixth place. Could he fight for podiums in the Alpha? Are they going to be able to invest and chase the front runners? At this point, we assume the front runners are Ferrari, Red Bull, and then maybe Mercedes a little further back.
Let's hope so.
If I can see Bottas on a podium this year, that would be incredible. If he can, you know, if he can get it up there, he's a talented guy, isn't he? I mean, Lewis said he was one of the greatest people he's ever worked with. I think if you're up against someone like Hamilton, you're always going to be in trouble, aren't you? It's like being Barrichello, or it's kind of like, you know, being Senna's second driver.
Ben to me.
Yeah, Patrese to Mansell. You know, all of these famous couples. He did a great job at Mercedes. That's why they're 8-time consecutive world champions, right? You don't win Constructors World Championships without your driver, your second driver, being good. And obviously, he's a Finn, so he's going to be fast, isn't he? I was so happy to see him in there, and he was driving well, and he just looked on it. Like, that car looked really... You know, when they're moving that car around, it looked amazing. So I was really happy with them. And the AlphaTauris as well, they looked great. Yeah, Tsunoda looked like he
would also be worth saying that he had an absolute shocker of a start and managed to get it back into sixth place. I mean, Bottas was running down in 14th after a couple of laps. Obviously the Haas as well up there battling. I just hope Bottas is... Go on, Dan.
I want to come to the Haas because I want to finish on a high. I want to finish on with the Haas because I think there's a real... high for us there.
Right, well, before
you want
talk
to mention
about
the
Haas,
rims.
Yep, the rims and the tyre warming. When Lewis come out the pits and he was snaky wakey everywhere, when he nearly dropped it twice in the first corner, that was good.
I think that the drivers have clearly got so much to learn still, right?
Of course, it's a new formula.
Yeah, but the thing is, we've also got new tyres. We're talking brand new low-profile tyres, new
lower temperatures.
Lower temperatures, which is clearly going to be a bit interesting. There's another couple of rules in there. One that we didn't actually get to see was the new rule around if you overtake a car illegally by going off the outside of the course or circuit or whatever, you have to then decide yourself whether to give the position back. You can't have the team sort of on the radio asking, you know, Michael Marzio, replacement nowadays. So all these different rules we're still going to see in future references, in future races, I should say. So I don't know. There's lots to go. There's loads of stories from it, Dan.
Yeah, I think my point about the rims though is they've grown on me. I hated them in the launches, but now they're starting to be used. I thought they were ugly.
Yeah, they looked horrible.
Alfa Romeo
didn't they?
Using them.
The Google
McLaren
one.
Using them with the chrome colours.
Yeah, I still think they
worked. AMG on the Mercedes.
I want to see the trippy. You know, when you look at something that you know the old rotating patterns on the
zoetrope.
Yeah, the zoetrope. That's what I want to see. I want to see it like sucking me into the telly. Like, that's what I want to see.
All right. Let's end on a mesmerising performance. Then, what a torrid start to, or nearly start to, the season Haas had, as they had to get rid of their main sponsor and their pay driver, Nikita Mazepin, and Ural Kali went their ways because of the ongoing invasion of Ukraine. Haas looked to be in a bit of trouble, and there was a lot of rumours around who they're going to bring in, and Kevin Magnussen turned up.
K-Mag,
what
baby.
A coup. And
K-Mag.
He then turned up on the racetrack and finished in P5. I mean, what?
And he dropped a couple of places as well, didn't he? He battled back to get past as well. He did really well.
I want to add and say that, listen, congratulations to Haas. It was wonderful to watch Gunter Steiner after. He just looked so happy about the situation. They've used Mazepin's money, and they've delivered a car for K-Mag and for Schumacher. I actually said a week ago, I said, what are they doing not putting Oscar Piastri in that race seat? For me, he is the just absolute future. He's this insanely fast Aussie, winning GP3, GP2, looked like it was a natural progression. And I was unsure if K-Mag, was he going to be fast enough? I don't know. There was something about him. He answered every single critic that race. And, you know, him, his wife and child, they looked just... Everyone was instantly a massive K-Mag fan.
Yeah,
where they
like
were
he won
before.
The race, wasn't it?
Brilliant. Yeah, absolutely brilliant.
A big loss to endurance racing, though, because he was all lined up to race the Peugeot.
Oh, do me a favour. What a load of rubbish. What cares about that?
Formula One pays more.
Well, no, F1's a pinnacle, but I mean, I'd love to have seen him. All right, we're going to end there.
No,
that
you
is,
can't. Wait. You can't. We haven't even spoken about Mercedes.
What have we got?
We haven't talked about Mercedes. Not once.
We shouldn't talk about them because they're a mid-level team. Just mid-level team now.
Yeah, how many points they got compared to Red Bull? More. Oh. I've never put tyres on again. Oh, I don't want to drive
can
far.
I put a disclaimer in and say that I'm not a Red Bull fan? I just love the back and forth. But give us a last word on Mercedes. Where are they? Where will they be, Paul?
They will be nowhere in Jeddah because it's too fast for them. They will be probably fifth and sixth in Australia unless K-Mag and Bottas turn up again. And in Imola, they'll win the race.
Oh, you heard it here first.
Oh, do you know why? Because they're 8 times consecutive Constructors' Champions. And they got my boy Lewis driving. Lewis.
You know, Georgie boy, and Georgie boy.
Georgie.
The point you make there, Paul, is... back to your corners, ding, ding, come on. The point you make about the Constructors, though, and Ben, you made it earlier, about having both your drivers need to be turning up in position. And we need Perez, don't we? Red Bull needs Perez to do that consistently this year, like Bottas was able to do.
They do.
Most of the time.
I say dump Perez and get Piastri in there. That's what I say. Get Perez out. He's had his time. He was rubbish at McLaren. He's been average at Red Bull. What did he do?
I think he's got another year. I think
at most.
He brings a lot of fun to the race. I like Checo. I like him.
All right. Let's stop there. All right, Paul, what an absolute... Paul's down here. Absolute delight to have you back on the show for the bonus episode of the first Monday after the race from the last Wednesday of the week. Ben, thank you very much for joining us on this and entertaining our YouTube viewers. I'm sure we'll
Is
get
he
a couple.
Up there, Ben?
he's in your diagonal, Paul.
That one.
And
you've got a dab. You have to dab to get me.
I think it might be the other way. I don't know. I haven't put it together yet.
We'll see. So, we're getting this wrong.
Put him up here.
All I know is that you can find all our Instagram and Twitter and Anchor podcast links, etc., in the corner down there. All that's left to say for this bonus content is that I've been Dan.
I've been Paul.
I've been Ben.
Oh, yes, Ben. Love you.
Until our next, at some point in the future, first Monday after the race show.
Next
tune
week.
In to the last Wednesday of the week later this week. And thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.